You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Amira Property Fund, one of our real estate investment trusts listed on the JSE, reported their full year results for the year ended March 2024. And I'm joined on the line by the company's CEO, Jeff Jenner, to take a look at the numbers and try and make sense of what's been happening within the company. Good evening, Jeff. Thanks so much for taking the time. Last year's performance, obviously, there were some accounting adjustments when you changed the year end, and that's resulted in some figures not being comparable or comparability being a bit difficult from that perspective. But give me a sense of how the overall performance was from your perspective.
Yes, thanks, Jimmy. So we reported 119.03 cents as a 12-month distributable income per share for those 12 months to March 24, recognizing that we changed our year end to March in the last financial year. So the results are not comparable. However, if you do take last year's results and just do the math of timesing by 12 and dividing by 9, it looks like we're down. And there were reasons for that. Firstly, in terms of we're no longer accruing for any income under Inani. Secondly, we did the strategic disposal of Inuka, where we sold off a high-yielding investment that had a higher risk attached to that, and we've taken those proceeds, great, but this income certainly takes a knock from that. And then thirdly, these results show the effects of the higher interest rates that we've got in our economy in comparison to what they were last year. So when you do a like-for-like comparison, you're not quite arithmetically correct, it then gets you more in line in terms of how our results actually were. There's one other measure. We shared with the market that the executive target for the our KPI for our distributable income per share was 118.49 cents. And that was a bottom-up approach in terms of what we felt we could achieve in this financial year. And we just put that to the 119.03 cents. So from that sort of financial measures, we certainly set out to achieve a goal, and we just achieved it.
Nothing like the feeling of being able to deliver on the promises that you put out to your investors. Jeff, I want to look at the portfolio in terms of just its composition and how the business sits at the moment. There is a lot of local assets, or there are a lot of local assets within the portfolio, but there's also an offshore component that sits in the US, and that's also been negatively affected by some large tenant failures. Take me through the US business and where it kind of sits going into this new financial year. Are you concerned about anything serious there, or is it just cyclical, the movements that are happening?
So our US business that we started basically in 2017 has meant that we've got 12 individual assets in the US. These are open air, grocer anchored, value orientated power centers, big open air shopping centers, as we would call them. And they've actually done very well. And if I look at the vacancy side, that ticked up from up to the 3.1% level. And that's not a problem at all. And that was due to certain two tenant failures that happened. And in the US market, you are always going to have failures. And but that doesn't concern us at all. Our partners are quite happy with it, as are we. And it's great to have that offshore exposure, which makes up 19% of our total assets. I'm sitting in the world's largest economy that's got a growth rate and growth potential that's certainly stronger than what we have here in South Africa. So notwithstanding the little hiccups that you have from time to time and having a vacancy rate in the low threes, nothing wrong with that. That's just your business as usual. So not a worry there, and actually provides a nice diversification through to the results of our local portfolio.
Jeff, let's come back to some of the other movements within the business that you touched on. You mentioned that disposal of the Inuka business, and that would have a detrimental impact on the income side of it. You'd lose a lot of the income that you would have been generating from there. But you did use those proceeds productively.
Very much so. We certainly did. And we used those for the balance of the acquisition of Transcend. So, and Transcend was a bit of a success story for us. We took a first 34.9% stake in 2018, increased that up to 68% in 2022, and then have now got 100%. We scheme of arrangement and we delisted. So we utilized those proceeds for the acquisition of the balance of the shares that we didn't own in Transcend. And Transcend, an interesting business, focused in on the low to middle income LSM residential side. Not CBD, not low cost at all, but in that little middle segment. And what we've been doing is we've been sectionalizing those properties and selling them off on an individual basis. And in this past 12-month period, we've sold 540 individual units and realized 20 to 30% premiums to our book values. And obviously that's value accretive, because if I can take an asset and sell it at 20 or 30% higher than its value, at a, particularly at a full price, I can then take those proceeds and redo that again, which then obviously adds to my bottom line. So there's always that continual recycling. And I think if you look back over the past few years, you will have seen that that's exactly what Emira does. You can't quite get the timing right in terms of an exit and an entry. You've got to back yourself that over a period of time, you will get them to match. And we certainly have had that taking place.
Mm. Jeff, let's look at what's left in the portfolio at the moment. What's the size of the portfolio, and how is that portfolio being impacted by things like interest rates? I mean, you touched on that as well earlier to say that the interest rate environment hasn't been the kindest. And I want to know how that's kind of affecting your local and your offshore portfolio.
Yeah, so on a local perspective, our total rand-based portfolio of directly held properties, being urban retail, office, industrial, and residential, is just over 12 and a bit billion. Add on to our 2.7 billion of US assets, takes you up to our total asset base of 15. On our local portfolio of that 12 billion, it operates well. As I say, it's diversified across the different sectors. Our vacancy rates have been improving. Our rental reversions are lower than they have been in the past in terms of the negative rental reversion. So that's a good sign. And our weighted average lease expiry continuing to be out in the 3-year side. So that's good. There are certainly pressures in the local economy, and interest rates are certainly one of them that obviously affect us as a company at the bottom line. But it also affects our tenants, because it's challenging for our tenants to operate in an environment where interest rates are high and cost increases, third-party costs and municipal costs are much higher than inflation. So you've got to manage that, and you're left with a higher interest rate that you've then got to fund from your capital base. So it's not easy for our tenants, but notwithstanding that, if you look at our vacancy rate on our commercial portfolio, dropped from 4.7 to 4.1%. Even our offices dropped from a 12% vacancy rate down to the 10.9. And really the star performer was our industrial portfolio, dropped from 2.1% down to a 0.7% vacancy level. That means 28 of our 32 buildings are 100% fully let. So notwithstanding the fact that there are challenges, and for our tenants and for the consumer, because of a higher interest rate environment and lower growth here in South Africa, if you've got the right product and you do the basics well, you're going to be all right. It's just the rate of growth that might not be as high as it was in the past.
Mm. Rate of growth does come with a bit of a challenge there, but as you rightly mentioned, Jeff, fully let means income coming through into the bank, and that's always important if you are a real estate investment trust. Jeff, before I let you go, let's look at that dividend, 55 cents a share there, gross final dividend. Obviously, it is important to keep shareholders in mind with all of the business decisions that you make, but at the same time, as a REIT, you've got that obligation from a distributable earnings point of view. How do you reflect on the dividend, and what does that mean going into the new financial year? Where are you positioning the business going forward?
Yeah, so for us, it's always important that we take our profits as a REIT, as you should be, taking your rental profits and distributing them out to your shareholders. And that we've consistently done throughout COVID, throughout all the challenges, and we consistently do this. And this is why off 119 cents of distributable income, we're paying collectively 117 cents for this year. And that's a very, very healthy return. If you're a shareholder and you buy shares in us today, you're going to be paying about R9.50. You're going to get a 55 cents dividend check at the 1st of July. And then if you just had to use the maths of what our executive KPI target is, an increase from 119 cents to 120.4 cents, the dividend is likely to follow suit. So maybe that 117 cents is going to be 118 cents. And 118 cents expressed as off a share price of R9 net of the dividend is a healthy 12.5% to 13% yield.
Absolutely,
we think.
And that's a good yield in any market, any tough conditions that investors might be going through, especially if we look at some of the strain that's been put on the property sectors of late. I think about the office space that has been under strain since the COVID pandemic. But it's good to see that you guys are on track and that the business is doing exceptionally well. I think from here on out, we'll definitely keep an eye out to see how the first half of the new financial year comes into play. And if there's any interesting acquisitions that you have on your radar, I'm sure we'll look into into those as they come out in the SENS announcements. We'll leave it at that, Jeff. Thanks so much for those insights. Jeff Jennett, who is CEO at Emira Property Fund, joining me to reflect on the company's full year numbers as well as the outlook that they have going into the new financial year.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.